This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
Well, joining us now on the line, we welcome Professor Emeritus Eitan Gilboa from the Center for International Communication. Professor, a very good morning to you, and thank you for joining us for today's Israel Report.
Good morning, Howard.
Sorry, Professor, it's Michael. Sorry, I'm standing in for Howard. Howard's not well at the moment. But Professor, once again, thank you for joining us. Professor, let's begin with an update on the hostage release situation. Where does it stand at the moment? Have the returned hostages been identified, and who is monitoring the ceasefire? Quite a few issues here to unpack. Over to you, Professor.
Okay, first of all, yesterday, two hostages were returned. One of them is Amiram Cooper. He was the oldest Israeli to be kidnapped, 85. He was murdered in Hamas's hands, which can tell you about the cruelty of that jihadist organization. They kidnapped babies and children and women and elderly. So he was the oldest person kidnapped. And he was returned after 755 days. He was the last member of Nir Oz to be returned. This kibbutz lost 76 people of the kibbutz were either murdered or kidnapped. So in that sense, the story of Nir Oz is being closed. The other person was also identified. His name is Baruch Sahar. And as of today, 11 more dead Israelis are in Hamas's hands. And what is interesting is that one of Hamas's spokesperson just stated yesterday that these hostages are the cards that Hamas keeps in order to achieve its own goals. And this really means that from the beginning, Hamas knew the place or the places of all these hostages from day one. They simply want to gain time in order to solidify their control over 55% of Gaza. Israel still controls the remaining 45% or 50% of Gaza. They want to gain time because they don't want begin phase two of the agreement that they themselves signed. Phase two calls for the dismantling of Hamas. Mm-hmm. Disarming and demilitarization of Gaza. So they have been in violation of the agreement from day one.
Indeed.
They are challenging Israeli soldiers on the yellow line. This is the yellow line is separating today the territory that between the territory that Israel controls and the territory that Hamas control.
Professor, if I can just come in there, when I spoke about our interview earlier on in the show, I put it out to everyone, you know, regarding this ceasefire was negotiated by certain parties, by certain countries. And it begs the question, who is supposed to be monitoring the ceasefire?
Okay, so yes, you are quite right. A number of countries participated in the formulation of the agreement, and they are also responsible for the implementation, full implementation of the agreement. So we are talking about the United States. The United States has headquarters in the city of Kiryat Gat with more than 200 soldiers.
Right.
So they are supposed to monitor the ceasefire and to see whether or not the two sides are complying with the ceasefire. Obviously, and I think President Trump himself has been very busy this week in Asia. He went to Asia, but still had time to say that Hamas is violating the agreement time again. So, Turkey, Qatar,
right,
and Egypt are also responsible. But I think you have pointing to a difficulty, and that is too many actors are responsible for this, and this is not good. You have to have one actor responsible for monitoring, and Israel prefers the United States, Hamas prefers Turkey and Hamas and Qatar, because Turkey and Qatar are also extreme Islamist regimes that perhaps do not want Hamas to get out from Gaza. This is something that will have to be tested.
Sure.
Because they participated in negotiations that produced the agreement that is calling for the eviction of Hamas from Gaza. But Hamas is behaving and saying day in, day out, that this is not what they intend to do. So if this is the case, then this is a complete, incomplete violation. Israel has a dilemma because Israel has been considering some sanctions against Hamas, such as moving the yellow line, gaining more Gazan territory, because it turns out that losing territory is very effective vis-a-vis Hamas. But the United States is not allowing Israel to do it. There were other considerations of perhaps reducing the humanitarian aid to Gaza, which again Hamas is controlling, selling it for exorbitant costs, and this helps it to recover and rebuild its military infrastructure.
Sure.
Here, every day, we see Hamas fighters firing at Israeli soldiers. This is also a violation of the ceasefire and the agreement. So this is a good question. Not only who is monitoring,
sure,
but because it's obvious that Hamas is violating the agreement. The question is what do you do with that,
Professor?
How you make sure?
Yeah. Sorry, carry on, Professor. Please conclude.
Yes, go ahead.
Professor, sorry to have interrupted you there. I thought you had concluded what you were just talking about now, but we do have just about time to discuss one more issue that has engulfed Israel right now, and that's the ultra-Orthodox protest, which we witnessed yesterday. Your take on this, are we seeing some kind of cultural clash here?
Yes. You mean the demonstrations?
The Haredi demonstrations that took place yesterday.
Yes, they were saying that this was not a demonstration, that this was just a way of praying for the sake of the Torah. They are defending the Torah. Obviously, this is nonsense because there is nothing in the Torah that forbids military service.
Indeed.
On the contrary, and I'm citing authorities, known authorities about religion and military service.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday, the chair of the Foreign and Defense Parliamentary Committee came up with a new law for the Haredims. The Haredims still do not like that law, and that this is the reason, main reason for the huge demonstration yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear whether or not the government would be able to pass that law. Netanyahu wants it. many members of his coalition and his own party oppose it. So I think we should see in the next week or two much fighting in the parliament about that law. But going back to your question, yes, I think it's very problematic that you have on the one hand people who serve in the military, pay taxes, are contributing to the economy and society, and you have a huge sector that do not do any of these.
Indeed. Professor, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I wish we could have elaborated on a few other items, but c'est la vie. Professor Emeritus Eitan Gilboa from the Center for International Communication. Right, so before we cross to George for today's news update, Mukundi, sorry, is there something, am I on the right track here? Or can I just chat a little to our listeners? I just want to just put it out there, please, for folks, do bear with us. Do not send us recordings. It is difficult to navigate this when we are on air. Rather, send us type messages. Then it's easier to read, easier to oversee, and easier to debate with you whilst we are live on air. So please, no voice messages. I've received a voice message here. I can't see who it's from. And when you do send your messages, please just add your name there, because yes, I take it you've presumed that we know who it is we're talking to from previous messaging. But those messages disappear. You can understand they're further up, so it takes a while to scroll through and see exactly who is chatting to us on the WhatsApp forum. So just leave your name. Don't need your surname or anything. Just leave your first name so that we know who we are relating to on the show as we drive along. Listen to me. I've still got that in me. I've still got that drive in me. Time check. Well, it's just about going 1 minute to the top of the hour. If you've just joined us, welcome to, well, what remains of the second hour of the Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM. I'm Michael McKenna, and I'm standing in for Howard Feldman. Howard is not well at the moment, and from all of us, we wish him well and a speedy recovery.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.